Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh-ay-yo. Mm-hmm. Ooh-ay-yo. Mm-hmm. Ooh-ay-yo. Mm-hmm. Ooh-ay-yo. Mm-hmm.
I've been walking.
Mm-hmm. Ooh-ay-yo.
My face turned to mm-hmm.
Ooh-ay-yo. Mm-hmm. Ooh-ay-yo. Mm-hmm.
Weight on my shoulder.
Back of my head, just in case I have to run. Do what I can when I can, while I can for my people. While the clouds roll back and the stars fill the night,
that's why I wanna
stand up,
take my people with me.
Going
to a
brand new home far across the river.
Can you hear
freedom calling, calling me to enter?
Gotta keep on
keeping on. I can feel it in my bones,
and I know. Ooh. What's around the bend might be hard to face, 'cause I'm alone.
Power, free the land, family. How are you all doing this evening? Welcome to the Truth and Power Corner. Come on into the digital den, get comfortable for the show. I want to thank you all for joining us tonight, and thank you for your continued support. If you want to call in and join the show, call in at 516-387-1549. I'm going to have a little light housekeeping. We're going to be right on into the show. First of all, I want to say salute to all our political prisoners, our POWs, and our elder comrades that are still locked behind those walls. This is Black August, symbol of resistance. Our brothers need your help. We need to get them home. They are still being tortured and murdered behind those walls. It's Black August, B-A-R-B-A-M. Bloody September will be coming up next. We have to salute these salute to all our fallen soldiers and the ones that are still locked behind those walls. Salute to all grassroots media platforms and our brothers and sisters that keep bringing us their truth and power, their knowledge, and keeping us informed and connected. Salute to Brother Noble, Sister Monique, and our family in Stonecrest, Georgia, and Denver, Colorado. With Unity Community News, stay tuned. We will be back on the air real soon. Salute to the Republic of New Africa, Madam President Samayat, Madam Vice President Mama Ayo, and our officials, ministers, ministries, leaders, and citizens of our Black nation. We encourage all of our new African family to become and support the nation, become conscious working citizens. Visit our website at pg-rna.com. Thank you all. Thank you all. We have our national elections coming up in 2023. in March. Keep in touch. Keep, you know, just stay tuned. We're going to give you all the information you need. I want to get right on into the show. Like I said, thank you for joining us. Peace and power, I want to introduce. This is our power session for the month with my big brothers, Brother Malik L. Abdul Muhammad, better known as The Truth, coming out of South Cali, Oakland, California, and my big brother, General Kareem Johnson, coming out of East Brooklyn, New York, the Brooklyn Bomber. We come together every month to bring you all this information, this truth and power that you all need. So I'm going to open up the lines and let them join us tonight. We're going to get started. We're going to have a brief power session tonight. So, like I said, welcome to the show. What's up, big brother?
Peace and black power, queen. How you doing, little sis? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. You know, trying to get this little gal registered for school. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Absolutely.
You
but you're going to pull
it through. When I saw that house y'all did, it was real nice.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm pushing through 8, 9 straight days. But I want to say Ashe Hotep to our listening audience. As-salamu alaykum to my Muslim brothers and sisters out there. Peace and black power. Thank you for having me, little sis. It's my honor and privilege. As you know, no matter what I'm doing, what I have scheduled, when you need me, I try to show up and do my part. So again, thank you for having me, and thank you to the listening audience for calling in and listening.
Exactly. Thank you for joining us, big brother, because I know you stay busy. Like I said, I saw what y'all did with the house and everything, and then you went right back and you were out there barbecuing chickens the next day. So
yeah, I did. I did 5 straight days on the house, and then I cooked all day Saturday and did my PR work Sunday for Flint. So and as you know, I'm right in the middle of an event right now that started the same time as the program. But you and I discussed that. But hey, I'm here because if I can give the people a little knowledge, a little information, and each one teach one, reach one, that's good enough for me. So again, sis, thank you for having me. And before we go any further, I want to send my love and condolences to our general, Kareem Johnson, a.k.a. the Brooklyn Bomber. We love that brother. He's a soldier on the ground. He's about his business. He lost his great aunt, and I believe her funeral was today. So he knows how we feel about him. But I want to shout out and let him know that I send my heartfelt condolences to him and his entire family and the loss of his great aunt. And may Allah bestow blessings upon him and his family.
I say most definitely, big brother, most definitely. And the same from the Truth and Power Corner. Condolences, General Kareem, to your great aunt, to your family, your great aunt. She lived 100. She was 103 years old. She lived a long, beautiful life. So
absolutely,
that's love. That's love. I want to get on into this conversation, brother, because I was talking to a friend earlier today, right? And we were talking about what's going on with that WNBA player, right? So I'm looking at it like, okay, we already know these people don't have our best interest at heart. My thing is, what you going to rush it for anyway? You should have been going to Africa. So I hate she got caught up, right? And then it looked like they trying to use her as a, is leverage, trying to get other Russian prisoners released, right? Then they turned around and gave her 9 years. What are your thoughts on it? What's going on with it? You dropped off?
Yeah, I think I dropped.
Just a few technical difficulties. I apologize. My brother dropped off. Just, hey, technology. So he'll be calling back in a few minutes, and then we'll get on with the show. If caller 706-6688, I'm going to unmute your phone. If you want to come on in, you can come on in. It's an open mic tonight. Come on in. Hello?
Free land.
Free the land. Peace and power, brother.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
How you doing? How you doing tonight? This nothing about money?
Good. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I was just calling in, listening to your broadcast. I wasn't aware there was an open mic. I thought it was going to be talking about something in particular.
It's open mic tonight. It's open mic tonight because since you're here, I would like for you to give us some back history on Black August and the Black Resistance, right? Because next week I'll have Brother Abdul on. So you can go ahead until we get Brother Malik back on.
Okay. Well, I'll give you a little history about Black August. Well, the first thing, the initial call for Black August was started in the fall of 1978 at San Quentin State Prison. You know, that was originally called for it. That was considered the first Black Organized Committee. That was originally called for 1978, where you had comrades like Susan DeGraham, Michael Murdoch, Brother Fela, Tatari Golden. You had people like Tatari Golden. Who else? It was a lot of brothers during that time. Shaka Thinning. A whole bunch of other brothers that were involved, as well as it was sisters on the street that were actually
the wives and queens and sisters of some of the comrades as well, like Sister Ayana, Sister Adama, and other individuals, right?
But it actually
got it until August 1978. Because August 1st, 1978.
Brother of mine. Your phone went dead low. Your phone went out for a minute. Come on back in, phone.
Okay. What was the last time you heard?
That they were on the ground.
Okay. What I was saying is
it was also sisters on the ground that were actually involved with a lot of the current behind in the lines at that time, like Sister Adama, Sister Ayana, and other sisters, so forth and so on, right? So, in August the 1st, 1978,
Brother Katara Golden, Joe Katara Golden, was playing football on the San Quentin yard, and he received a head injury. And once he received a head injury, the people, the state were already looking at him as a servant because he was very political. He was a revolutionary. He was organizing the brother behind enemy line. So they purposely neglected his medical attention by taking him to the wrong hospital, where he wasn't getting no attention there, then took him to another hospital and where he eventually died, right? And he was close with comrade Susan Graham. So in 1979, in August, Susan Graham and other comrades, a whole bunch of comrades came together and started Black August as a political tradition to commemorate all the comrades that died during the month of August, as well as those who were given a fleet as well. And the first day of August the 1st was to commemorate Katara Golden, been assassinated in 1978. The second day was August the 7th, which he was known as Fleet Days. And Fleet stands for First Liberated Estuary in Africa. And now the Fleet Days are 24-hour fast, which are given to show solidarity toward the comrades and also as a way to show as a test of your contribution and your commitment to the struggle. So August the 7th relates to August the 7th, 1970, when a man tied Johnny Johnson went to the American courthouse to liberate the brothers. And upon liberating the brothers, he gave arms to Rochelle McGee, who were injured during the scrimmage. He gave gun to William McClain, and William Crystal. and, Knows, and Jane McClain, and William Cripple, you know what I'm saying? All these brothers, commissioned on to take people hostage, things to take to the show the resistance. All of them was assassinated, except Ruchel McGee. He was the only one who was assassinated. He lived. So that day get dedicated toward them. August 13th, it dedicated to an event that happened January 13, 1970, in the prison system in regards to W.L. Nolan. W.L. Nolan, you had Cleveland Edwards and Alvin Little Jug Miller. They all was assassinated on the prison yard. So August 13, it commemorated toward them. And August 21st, it was a commemorative to Conrad George Jackson, who was assassinated in prison in 1971, August 21st. So all the fleet aid were geared toward eight martyrs when we term it as being Black August Memorial. Those are the eight martyrs of the Black August Memorial. Whereas Black August Resistance itself is another component of Black August Memorial that commemorate all the resistant aspect during August, such as the Watts Rebellion, the aspects of Nat Turner Rebellion August, Delmont Beach Rebellion August, the other resistance of different people that have been actually involved in resistance, they born day, like Timmy Fran Jr., the birthday of Dr. Masuma Shakur, the RNA 11, in regards to them being attacked to defend themselves during Black August, during that time of the month in 1971. So Black Resistance was geared toward that particular aspect of showing resistance, all the struggle.
Brother Mont, you went low again.
Okay.
I heard the RNA 11, and then that's all I heard.
Okay, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, they messing with your phone for some reason.
Yeah, I can go with that. Now, what I was saying, Black August Resistance geared to arm struggle resistance during the month of August, right? That we call Black August Resistance. Yeah. And Black August itself is a particular revolutionary culture where anybody who is involved in revolutionary struggle, be it the Pan-American movement, with the Black Liberation Movement, the New African Independent Movement, they get geared toward the struggle of people after defending all the global world in general, right? You know, and every year during Black August, there are different events to commemorate the particular sacrifice of brothers, all the brothers in the prison, the California Black Prison Movement at that time, and also geared toward the release of all the new African national political prisoners, in which the Black August collected and made a transition to it, become a new African national. And there's a lot of them brothers are still among us now that are incarcerated that are actually doing the work, writing signs, creating pamphlets, free program, institution, educate, and one couple of extensions of that is Georgia University, which is an extension of the work that the Black August Organizing Committee started putting out. That was a contribution, that was an extension of the work, as well as Amendment 13, which is an extension of the work, where they'll be able to ministership programs, and other programs, and so forth and so on, the extension of the work in particular. You know, so Black August, you know what I'm saying, commemorated all around the world, globally, and well, and nationally, right? And it's a time where you write political prisoners. It's a time where you create programs for the people. It's a time where you reflect upon what happened last Black August and go out there and resist. It's a time where you study. It's a time where you study your African culture, study martial arts, study the African languages. It's a time where you don't purchase anything from the oppressor, for the capitalists and imperialists. It's a time where you come together and show solidarity towards your people. It's a time where you do programs towards your people and create institutions towards your people. And it's a time where you actually push that particular culture all year round, 365 days a year. It's not just doing Black August where you show that form of resistance. Because if you think about it and look at it, a lot of our movements, if it be the Black Liberation Movement, the Pan-African Movement, the New African Independent Movement, the Prisoner Movement, so forth and so on, they're all showing form of resistance, you know. So it varies a little bit about the time. The Black August Organizing Committee is the government body of Black August.
you know, and the Grand August understanding is where to go to Lamu, I mean, Black August salute or Black August salutations, you know. So in regard to doing
I
that aspect, you know, in particular, you know what I'm saying, when Black August was first founded in 1979, it was fine doing what we term Ramadan. Ramadan started in like January 17th or January 16th, 1979, and ended August of 1979, which is okay, last month, 30-day time period. So with a lot of that fashion, a lot of those aspects were put into Black August during that time because it was exactly what was going on. And also, a lot of the people that was in the prison movement came from an Islamic background. You know, a lot of them came from Islam. Someone came from Nation Islam, someone came also from Islam, in that particular background, right? So that fast, so a lot of people started looking at Black August as being a revolutionary fast for the quote-unquote prison radicals or the Black radicals of the prison movement. Right? So that basically coming in, though. And then our first chairperson was Sister Adama, who was the wife of Fatiero Cambone, which is brother little brother of Bunchy Carter. He also was on the yard initially in the spring of 1978 when Black August was first conceptualized before it became an actual thing in 1979. You know, that's just a little background about about the plea days, a little history, so forth and so on. That's just a little bit, you know, on top of my dome right now. I really wasn't prepared for that. I just gave that presentation. I really wasn't prepared for, you know.
That's all right. We appreciate it. Thank you, because we want to make sure we always support these brothers, because we need to build institutions for when they come out, so that they the training and the work training and studying that they getting inside and the discipline that they're getting can be utilized with our communities and our people. So I say thank you so very much. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. I
want to say one more thing. It's just our signals are just real bad just today, because it's even kind of raining down here today, and Brother Malik's signal is bad. Brother Malik, are you back on yet?
Okay.
Go ahead. Wait a minute, Bomani, your mic went down. Come on in again.
About now.
Wait a minute. Again, because it's still low.
What about now?
One more time. I don't know what they doing today, man. They tripping. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now, Phil?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. One more thing I wanted to say is that Black August was first announced to the street in August 1979 as well. It was broadcast on a radio show called, I think, KPFA in the Bay Area. And the sister that initially put out there was Sister Kasufu, and along with her was Brother Jashiri. And they announced Black August as a particular revolutionary culture to the world for the people to know exactly what it was. And they were broadcast in 1979 as well, during the month of Black August. I just want to bring that to a lot of understanding, a lot of clarity there as well, right?
Ashe. I want to add this. We have another caller that called in. I want to add her to the call. If she can come on in, it's 901-292, if you could come on in, Mama. How you doing tonight?
Be the land. How is everyone? I'm just checking in on the show to see what's going on. Yes, I am. I will.
I say, Mama.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Hey, great to hear everyone's voice.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mom.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know,
be a part of the...
Yes, can you hear me? Because I know it's raining down here. It's storming.
Yes,
can you hear me?
Come in a little bit. You kind of low. Come in a little bit more.
Can you hear me now?
I think everybody having issues. Wait a minute. I didn't hear you too well.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you now.
All right. I'm just, you know, happy to be a part of Black August, to at least pause, think about it, get educated, set into motion some of the things that we should be doing 365, because we say 365 Black. So August is another month to make sure we go in, we get intentional, work within yourself, all the things that Black August Committee is asking all new Africans to do is to make sure you just be intentional with yourself, making sure that you pay homage to those brothers who laid the foundation for many things that we're trying to accomplish today, and to just make sure we never forget of the sacrifices that are being made, even as they are behind the walls, being political prisoners, prisoners of war, of criminals who have turned into revolutionary mentalities, all of it. So, you know, we just want to, you know, big them up, make sure that they know that they are not forgotten and they will never be, you know, just cast aside. So with that, I yield.
I say, thank you, Mom. Like I was saying, I want to always give salute to our political prisoners, because it's time for them to come home, and it seems like to me that our people are not outraged enough. They don't even understand. Just like I was asking Bob Malik about, I want to get you all, both of you all's opinion on what is going on with this WNBA player in Russia, right? Do y'all think that's something we should be so concerned about? Because I'm like, if you would stay away from them folks and stay out their country and do your thing, I feel like they promoting that LGBTQ thing. That's what I feel like. So I wanted to get you all's opinion on it. Mom, you can go first, and then I want you to come in, Brother Bomani, okay?
Well, for the sister who's over there, she has chosen the particular lifestyle. She was there as a sports person. If you know anything about sports, you know that there are many gifted athletes, and if they cannot make it in the women's basketball league, they can't make it in the National Basketball League here in America, they usually go abroad. They go abroad. They play in Spain. They play in Russia. They play in China, and they earn a lot of money. So that's just an economic reality that they're involved in. She got caught up because of, you know, she made some critical decision about what she wanted to do and how she wanted to transport whatever we're calling it, drugs. I don't promote that marijuana is a drug, CBD a drug, none of that. That's a game, and she got caught up in the game, and now she's locked down, and she's being used as a pawn. She is not a POW. She's not a political prisoner from a new African perspective. She's not a POW. She's not a political prisoner. So what are we talking about?
I totally agree. I say, go ahead, Brother Beaumont.
Okay. Realize, you know, this is where I look at the situation. I look at it from a political perspective, especially from an American international American political perspective. Now, we understand that the U.S. and Russia are at odds politically. We understand that the U.S. had pushed the whole aspect in regards to the United Nations putting sanctions on Russia and stop from doing certain things, so forth and so on, right? So I look at this whole situation as a ruse, a political pun for them to try to get some leverage on America by having one of these citizens as a political prisoner, I mean, as a political prisoner in their government, as well as being able to utilize her as being a star to get some kind of recognition toward them, and also to try to work some kind of change out in regards to them being receiving the quote-unquote, the power that they actually want and desire, that they've actually been denied by the United Nations and other foreign countries, right? So I look at it being a political machination to
to work out certain things, create some ideas, gain some kind of plus power. And it all, and all, like Mama Ayo said, you know, this sister was unknown to all this. She was just going to play basketball or visiting whatever she was doing, right? And she got victimized by the situation, you know, by the politics. The same thing occurred to us, you know what I'm saying, doing some of our times within our involvement with different Russian political aspects. We got victimized by the same thing through our history as well. You know, the same thing happened to her. That's just my take on the situation, right?
I see what you're saying. I see what y'all are saying. I was on today. We was out getting my baby registered for school, right? I was with Sister Saw. We were getting our children registered for school. And I want to, you know, I'm having a battle with my baby right now, right? And I want her to homeschool because I know the importance of it, right? But she wants that socialization with her peers, right? And I'm having a battle with that, and I want to know how do y'all feel about that? Because Mom, with you being a retired educator, what are your thoughts on the difference between homeschooling? Because I already know that homeschooling is the best for African children, period. But when you have a 15-year-old and you get that battle every day, and then she depressed and different things like that, how do you handle it? Go ahead, Mama Yo.
Okay, that is a very tricky situation because she is a young lady. She does like, she wants to be around the socialization. She's caught up in the illusion that this is America the Great, yet I'm not sure if she has properly incorporated a new African perspective. And if she's the only one that's receiving a new African indoctrination, even a black power indoctrination, a black awareness indoctrination, she wants to be in the midst of other children that have no idea of what's going on. Their parents aren't talking or speaking the same thing. That's very, very difficult. And it is very, very, very challenging. So that is, of course, the battle that you as the mother have to face because we don't have a strong institution that she can go to every day that's African-centered coming from that perspective. And I'm sure she wants to be around other children, other young ladies, young men, and yet for in my perspective, I've seen children like that come in to the classroom and quickly get because they don't stand on their square, they don't stand on who and what they are. They quickly get by peer pressure, and if she doesn't have the confidence to know who she is, where she came from, what is good and better and best for her as an individual, then yes, there's going to be some turbulent times ahead. And that happens to everyone because even children who are raised in a new African environment, they have to navigate that once they go to college, once they go into wherever they are. And it depends on the strength of the individual, that strength within. And unfortunately, she may or she may not have that. And I yield.
I say, Mom. Go ahead, Brother Beaumont.
Okay. Can you repeat the question? Because I actually didn't hear. I didn't hear what you were saying. I didn't hear the question, what the question was.
You know, I was telling, speaking about me getting my baby registered for school, right? And
okay.
It's a battle. We have a battle because she wants to be in a public setting, but I want her to homeschool. But she wants that socialization with, you know, her peers, right? But I know the detriment of the public school system. So I'm having that battle because she depressed and different things like that. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, my thought on that is that it's always all turning to that situation. Even if the individual is in public school, right? It's always on the parents' duty to educate them at home and abroad. It's all on the parents, you know, to educate them in regards to our history, our music, our esteem, our compliments, to develop that self-love, that self-pride, that self-determination. It's all on the parents to do that, but it's also going to be on the community where the community can assist in that as well also, right? So it's always imperative to have the outside education along with this colonial education, the American academic system, because we realize the American academic system, we understand that it's fueled on racism, greed, mass incarceration, other things of that nature, right? But it's always on the parent in regards to how they educate the child, what they tell the educated child, what they present to the child, and how the child actually absorb that situation. And possibly that what you educate her to outside the public school, she can bring to the students and actually bring them to a new way of life as well, a revolutionary way, a new African way of thinking, that actually can happen by the way of what you tell her and what you present to her and what opportunity you present to her, that can actually occur, right? Now, that's just my stance on that situation because, we understand that everybody's not going to be able to go to a private school or an African center school or be a part of an African center home collective or be able to be involved in a learning center or a community center. We know this, right? So sometimes we're going to have to put them through this situation in regards to get them their socialization and also to get them the education, but still be able to offer them other alternatives on the end, such as going to a community center, the African center, or going to a study group, the African center, or actually educating them on African center things that gear toward their basic understanding of who they are as a people. So there are various ways to look at that perspective, right? But it's always imperative that she get the education at home in general, regardless of what system she finds herself in education wise, so she can know that this system, it wasn't designed for her, it's not about her, but she can't utilize it to make some kind of utilize it for certain stepping stones in her own life. If it be academics or whatever, you know, she can accomplish certain things by going through the system, but still be in tune to our particular culture and history and nation. A year right up.
I say. Thank you. And I'm like I said, I keep looking at what's going on, you know, what's going on in this climate that we in today. And I want to get both of you all's opinion. I've heard that we are going through the change of, we're witnessing the change of ages, right? Because I see where they build and they keep building. They constantly building new apartments, new businesses, and different things like that. But on the other hand, people saying, okay, the economy's going to fall, it's going to turn back to nature, this, that, and the other. Are we witnessing the change of time, or is it an illusion? So, Mama, I want you to go first, and then Brother Beaumont, I want you to come tune in. Go ahead, Mama.
Well, as we know, if you're as a dialectician, you know, change is always constant. As a dialectician, you know, there's change, and we understand the system under which we live. We are neo-colonial captive subjects, and you are seeing neo-colonialism not only within your cities, with across the nation and across the world. So we call ourselves nationalist Pan-African freedom fighters. And so we always have to look at the signs, look at the times, and put everything in its perspective. Not only is this particular system in its last stages, you are seeing the last stages. Kwame Nkrumah wrote a very, very important book, Neocolonialism, the Last Stage of Imperialism. And it's very, very, very important that every new African study that book very carefully, even though it was written way back in the 70s, as we, you know, as everyone knows. We need to look at those times, see the effects, see how technology is creating illusions of grandeur. When you look beneath the surface, it's on very, 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 very shaky ground. As Baba, as Brother Bomani spoke about, you have tensions for power. You have what we call the greatest neocolonial nation in the world, imperial nation, the United States, and they're constantly making sure that they keep that status. How do they do that? By creating wars upon wars, creating dissensions in countries, creating false, let's say, epidemics created in the lab, which we've had to live through for the last few years. We now have conflicts with Russia. We have conflicts with China, because those are all nations that are trying to control the world as well. So when we look at what is happening here at home in America, remember, America grows much, but they don't grow enough to feed the nation. We are a nation that we're not self-sufficient. We need all the resources, food, as well as minerals, as well as oil, as well as gas, you name it. We're dependent on outside countries. We're dependent on colonial subjects to supply that, and yet the people at the bottom suffer. So it's all, in my mind, class. It's a continual class struggle, class struggle, class struggle. And yes, you are seeing great tragedies, because we have been imploded, embedded, impregnated with neocolonial, what I call Eurocentric genes and Eurocentric attitudes, Eurocentric values. And if we look at it from a Eurocentric mind, then you see a lot of stuff is happening. But if you look at it from a New African mindset, you just know that this is change. Change is going to be coming. We are a part of the change if we can keep our New African mindset, as Bomani is talking about. Read, study, know who we are, know the culture, the language, read, incorporate certain principles into our life. So with that, I yield.
Ashe. Go ahead, Brother Bomani.
Okay. I unite with a lot of stuff Mama Aya was saying. You know, this is a protracted struggle. By a protracted struggle, I mean it has ups and downs. You know, it's an ideological struggle. You know what I'm saying? When you look at it, because ideology becomes stronger, and it removes the people who are not a part of the ideology. Now, according to what they've been speaking about for decades, the quote-unquote age of Aquarius, or the age of Leah, the age of the perfect man, a perfect woman, this is the time and age of sophistication and technology. We see it all the time, especially with social media, from Twitter, Instagram, to Facebook, and WhatsApp, so forth and so on, right? Our people are more inclined to things that are of a mechanical or a technology usage in regards to communication than actually dealing with themselves on a natural basis. A lot of times people don't have a conversation face-to-face. A lot of times people don't organize face-to-face. A lot of times people don't gather face-to-face. You know what I'm saying? They're doing funerals on Zoom, meetings on Zoom, family units on Zoom, cabinets on Zoom, without people actually touching themselves, right? You know, actually being in contact with each other, to be able to hug each other or touch each other's palms, to greet each other, or actually be able to experience each other's food or conversation, or be able to experience events together, you know. Yeah, but we can't let those things like that alter our particular lifestyle. But on the same token, we must be abreast in regards to what's going on technology-wise, so we can be able to use these certain tools to advance our struggle, to advance our movement, as you asked me, to advance our independent movement. We must be able to utilize the internet. We have to utilize solar panels. We'll be able to utilize media, propagation. We're going to be able to utilize the technology to advance our struggle, because this is a different type of struggle that we're facing. not the same as the struggle that we were just in the 60s and 70s and 80s. This is a whole different time period. You know, we may utilize everything around us. But the same token, we might not, we don't need to abuse it or get victimized by the internet, because the anarchists spoke about the internet, I think about 30 years ago, the anarchists spoke about it in regards to that. They said that a lot of people are going to use the internet to organize. Or people want to have more faith in the internet than they actually have faith in their organization, their collective, their college, their unit, or whatever, right? And to put everything out there, which was basically exposing it to the adversary, the pig, the government, state, or whatever you want to first hear it as, right? You know, so it's all to understand that there was a tool for our demise, but it also could be a tool for our evolution if we so choose to utilize it in a proper manner. Because, realistically, though, we know that we don't control the internet, we don't control the radio, we don't control the media, we don't control the TV, we don't control a lot of the books we put out, we don't control a lot of music we put out. So every opportunity we get, we need to control the narrative. Right now, we control the narrative. Right now, we utilize the technology for our advancement. Right now, we utilize it to inform, to educate, and inspire both other people to do the same thing, to think independent and seek self-determination. They were utilizing the radio for right now in particular. So those are some things we never even think about in our own mind in regards to our own direction, our particular plight, and our particular advancement as new African people, as goals of building a new African nation, as well as going to gain this independence. Independence, once we obtain it, that we can actually defend and protect and continue to try our own through generation wealth and continue to push a real empire, a real kingdom, a real dynasty of being a new African people, a new African legacy. The same dance you had during the time of Kemet, the time of Kush, the time of Ghana, the time of the people of Mali, and so forth, so on, right? So we got to utilize all the technology for our best sophistication, right? For our best means possible, you know. But we also got to be aware of what actually the technology does, and don't become a victim to the technology, but you got to take the technology for our benefit. Yeah.
And Melly Queen.
Go ahead,
Mom. Go ahead. And to veg you back on what Comrade Bomani is talking about, he's very, very, very correct. We have to be discerning. That's why we call ourselves Be In Study, because there are things that happen when you're in study that helps you make those decisions, be able to navigate through the twists and turns of technology and social programming. Remember, some of us were a part of some of those experiments where we know where subliminal suggestion comes from, what can be put in the technology, and we certainly don't control the technology, but there are things that we do to offset that, because it's all about mind control. It's all about social programming. And also, it's about power, land and power. That's why all of us are going through paradigms right now where there's a new resurgence of taking people's land, taking farmers' land, taking lands of the indigenous, taking lands of previously owned properties of new Africans. And the reason why they do it is because economically they put you in a situation. They downtrest the neighborhood. They keep certain programs and initiatives. They just do enough to appease, keep you struggling. And those are the types of things that we have to analyze and actually combat as new Africans. Coming up with our own social programs, coming up with our with the people and the determination to feed our own and to be able to trade and to be able to manufacture. So when you have leaders like Nkrumah and Garvey and Malcolm and go on down the line that's given us blueprints on how to come out, like Obadeli and Lumumba, all of them, to come out and to be more Pan-African and working together, and the people don't know it, and we haven't implemented it, the first thing that Garvey says is have your own. Have your own. Produce your own. Grow your own. When I first went to Ghana, the first thing that I saw on the billboard is grow what you eat and eat what you grow. Does that make sense to everybody? And if we can't even do those basic things, if we can't, we don't have control over the basic needs. We don't control the water that comes through our taps. We don't control the food that we eat in the grocery stores. We don't even control the fact that we as farmers can have farmers markets all over our national territory or even in a community, and they know that they're going to be fed. They're going to be serviced on a consistent basis. Because whether we like it or not, there's getting ready to be an economic food crisis because they're playing games with us. There are things that are already missing from the shelves. What about the clothing? Who controls our clothing? How our brothers dress, how the children dress, how women even dress, the sexualization of our women because they're trying to look more black and don't want to be. So there's all kinds of hidden dynamics that we have to be aware of. And if we're new African and we're in steady work and training, we can at least combat some of it, even from the music to the art to the paintings. I mean, it's on so many levels. It's almost as if it's like a domino effect. If we start training our minds, everything else slowly but surely begins to evolve for us. So as Comrade Bomani says, we keep working at it because it is prolonged. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. We have to hand the baton over, but we have to hand the baton over that so that our youth, our children, will say, "Okay, I got you. I'm gonna take that banner up right with you." Instead of saying, "I don't want to be in that struggle. I don't like what I see. You ain't got nothing for us. You got a whole bunch of words on the ground. Nothing on the ground. That's not where we want to be when we decide, okay, I'm tired. Time to take my seat and pass on the baton. I yield."
I say. And it leads me into my next question, because with all these distractions that we have going on, the food, it's hard out here, you know what I'm saying? Like they said, what that song, it's hard out here for a pimp, you know what I'm saying? It's hard. And you know, you had all those
hard
distractions.
Hard out here for New Africans.
Yes, ma'am. So how it's so difficult to stay disciplined, right, in this society. And then you try to educate your family and your peers around you and different things. How do y'all stay disciplined and do this work? Because I'm telling you, sometimes I get frustrated. I be like, man, fuck this. You know what I'm saying? Hey, look, you know what I'm saying? But how do y'all do it? So I'm going to let you go ahead, Mama, and then you come on in, Brother Bomani.
All right.
Oh, we all have the choice. I'm sure that Bomani is a professional. He has his forte. All of us could have a 9-to-5 job. And we have had 9-to-5 jobs, and we have had to navigate by utilizing our jobs to help support what we really want to do, because that's the nature in which we came up in. None of us have been trained to be entrepreneurs. We are learning to be entrepreneurs. But I turn woke. Have you been blessed by the ancestors opening up that third eye to understand that this ain't living? Oh, you alive, but are you living? We're trying to create heaven here on earth, a better condition than the world has known, according to our new African creed. So no, it's not the best, and you navigate through. Who says we haven't been down some roads? We haven't done some things. We have fell down and had to pick ourselves back up. We haven't been in situations that haven't been the best. That we haven't been the best of ourselves. Do we stay there, or do we try to rise and shine and keep it? This is wearying work. I bear witness that it is very wearying, because we have to deal with self, family, community, nation, and race. And we are a people who have come through great trials and tribulations, and we are damaged. We are very, very damaged. But those new who have touched and who have been given the spirit, you know, there's a spirit that comes in you that you're never going to give up, that you're going to do this. And we've had what we call prophets who come to us. We have had angels to touch our lives, to say, to say a word or a phrase, to resonate and say, ooh, I'm supposed to be doing that. That's the spirituality that we talk about in our New African Creed. That because some people will hear this over and over and over and over and over again, it don't mean jack. And some people will hear it a couple of times, one time, and say, ooh, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. I call that God. I call that the ancestors. I call that your spirit guide. So you got to deeply go in, because all of us have what I call addiction and contradictions. And it's a lifelong work, a lifelong work to be able to still stand at the end of the day and say, give thanks and say, I'm glad I'm on this path. I'm glad you opened my eyes, because I did not want to leave this life just going through and leave nothing, nothing for my children, nothing. Even if the legacy is a book, writings, to see you involved in struggle. That's the legacy that most of us want to give our children. I yield.
I say, go ahead, Brother Juan.
Oh, okay. You know, I want to add on to what Mom Ayo was saying about family. You know, they're one of the main things that motivate me. Growing up in a family where everybody ate together, everybody talked about certain things. The family was a central component in the community, because certain strong families in it, certain strong families in the neighborhood supported everybody else in the neighborhood in regards to food and somewhere to stay at, shelter, things of that nature, right? You know, then when I also always thinking about it, I think about when I look around, what do we actually have, right? We see little Chinatowns, we see little Italy's, little Chinatowns, we see little Irish establishments, we see Polish establishments, we see all the different establishments around us. But what do we have with people of African descent, right? What do we have beside our history, what our history shows in the past, and regards to our pyramids, our temples, and our ancient civilizations? What do we have now in particular, right? Well, where are our scientists? Where are our philosophers? Where are our educators? Where are our motivators? You know, where are our nation builders at? And when I think about all that, and I look at our particular greatness, and the greatness, how great they've been shown in sports and other aspects, but where our greatness is way beyond that, and from a mental aspect, we're actually unselectional giants, and how everything the system utilizes to manipulate us is our own particular mind state, right? It shows our great particular power. It's also showed that we get busy consumers. If we turn that consumer power around, we'd be the one owning everything. We'd be the one owning our own land, owning our own food. You know what I'm saying? We had to worry about no food shortage. Or a food deprivation, because we have our own community gardens. We have our own gardens. We have our own farms. We have our own agriculture, things of that nature, right? So a lot of things that motivate me is the aspect of not having anything, but yet we have our own soul. That's what they call us, soul people. We have our own soul. We have our own essence. We have our own mind state that is actually powerful, and they know this. Because every time you look at something, any kind of propagate you see, that geared toward our belittlement is only shows to prove that how great we are, right? So a lot of motivation in people around us, especially in regards to our particular achievement historically, and the people who still pushing forward after so many years of being an elder and things have been started, like some of our motivation to bridge the government. Motivation, new African independence. It's our motivation that I do have political prisoner. It's our motivation, my own family members. You know, it's a lot of motivation around me. But one thing about all that motivation, every individual had to reconfirm his or her commitment in regard to the struggle that they're a part of, you know. And also, when you pass information to individual, what actually inspires me a lot, then when I pay information to individual, and he or she actually rises with information and actually excel the information, actually gather other information, they grow from it and develop from it. Those are some of the things that inspire and motivate me. And also, the youth, that when I start looking at youth, how intelligent they are in regards to their particular act, their particular understanding of things, that they have a greater understanding of things than we actually had when we were younger. But the thing about all this, that it's so much propagation, and it's so much animal propagation at that, and it's so much influence and motivation, inspiration to them. They can actually detail them to be something other than themselves, right? But the potential is there in regard to their particular greatness. So those are some of the things that actually motivate me to continue to move on, you know. And it's also that it's a choice, like Mama Aya said, it's a choice, right? Once you make commitment to something, it's a commitment for life. It's not a commitment for fad. It's not a commitment for social media. It's not a commitment to be fucking a celebrity. It's not a commitment, you know what I'm saying, to be popular. It's a commitment because you actually feel within your heart that it's necessary, what you're doing is necessary to advance the struggle and to advance your people and advance your nation, to make some kind of difference in regard to lives, not only yourself, but the lives of your family, as well as your nation, as well as your peers, as well as your society. You know, those are the things that are actually real to me. A lot of this stuff that's presented to us, it doesn't make sense. It's basically an illusion. But we got to be able to overlook the illusion with a mind of truth, to be able to understand exactly what it is, and it has a purpose too as well. The lies has a purpose in regard to truth. We can utilize lies to show the truth. Like we know this, if we know Christopher Columbus discovered America, you know, that's a lie, but we can show the truth of it, you know. Or we can say Hippocrates is not the father of medicine. That's a lie, but we can show the truth of that. Things of that nature we can utilize, though, as tools to teach and educate and inspire people to move forward in it. That move forward and advance themselves so we can advance our nation. We need thinkers. We need the best thinkers ever. You know, we don't need just a leader. We need everybody to be a leader. We need everybody to be a leader and everybody to determine to push our culture and aspect on, to push our nation on, to build our nation, to make our plight successful, to make our movement successful, a new African independent movement. We need everybody to be thinkers, to be able to think. The more thinking we have, the better, the more strategy we have, the more solutions, the more answers we have. That's what we need in our year.
Ashe. Like I said, y'all are bringing on some great points. I have another question. Like I said, and then, you know, like staying disciplined. And we have to know who we are, and we have to pass this on to our children so that they know that we need to build a black nation for them, right? And it's a lot of, like I said, a lot of distractions. I was looking at this video the other day, and they had this Walmart. It didn't have any food in it at all, right? So I'm like, what are we thinking about when we don't even want to, you know, become self-sustainable? What do you all think is going to take for our people to realize where we are right now and that we need to come together and get to work? Because they are distracted. They are so distracted that it's sickening. And I mean, it's the food, the hospitals, the medicine, everything, the schools. They have us pulled in all kinds of directions. What is it going to take for us to get this together and come on together and get it right? Go ahead, Mama. Then I want you to go ahead, Brother Beaumont.
Well, you know, we've been, when we talk about this type of paradigm that we're in, we know realistically that we are in the age of industrialization. With industrialization is going to come certain diseases and conditions. Our people are psychologically, socially, mentally, they are, of course, corrupted and in dis-ease, you know, economically, politically. One of the things that we know that is how a man thinketh, so is he. How what a man eats is also what he is. And that comes from Dr. Africa, Pulcrum. We talk about Dr. Sadie. That's been saying a long time. And when I came up, we had one guru at the time, and that was, of course, Jethro Cloth. You know, what you eat is what you become. The people who worked sun up, sun down, and had to have scraps because they grew. They grew for the slave master, and then had to take the scraps from themselves. That particular livid, that particular way of eating has become toxic because somebody else controls how you plant your food, what kind of meat you're putting in your body, what type of fish you are growing when we used to live off the land. Why do you think that the movement became to eat better? Because it wasn't for us. It wasn't for New Africans. It was for people like them, the conqueror, the Caucasoids, the Europeans who were dying. They came up with, oh, we got to change. We got to start eating better. We got to start doing this. We jumped on it as a nation because we started having more diseases than them. And that was never. So the paradigm shift came in my mind after the 60s and the 70s when industrialization pumped up. You're going to do microwave this. You're going to do microwave that. You're going to do packages that you can just put in the oven and do whatever, whatever. And you're going to eat this food full of salt, full of preservatives. You don't think that affects our children? You don't think that affects us? And then don't couple it with the drugs, the designer drugs, the genetically modified herbs, the alcohol. We're fighting on a whole bunch of different levels, and we have to understand that it's not just one way; it's many ways. So, what do we do? You have to stop. You have to say, I can't buy that no more. I can't buy that type of food anymore. Yeah, I may have to go to a few different stores, and I may have to pay a little bit, but I can't cook my food in pork no more. I can't use iodized salt anymore. I can't use sugar anymore. I can't use monosodium glutamate anymore. I got to read the packages to see what kind of chemicals are in the food because it affects our children. Remember, I'm in the classroom. I see what parents don't see, what they didn't eat, how hungry they are. And if you tell me, I'll tell you a lie. No child is going to come to school, and if they are, embedded with sugar or hot chips or nothing at all, they're going to be in a position that wants to sponge up information, particularly the information that many of us give from an African-centered point of view, even though we're in a public school setting. Do you think that's going to happen? No. We are at a critical time, and I believe that the times are going to get more critical as we see more and more New Africans begin to say, hold up, I'm not with this life. I need something better. We are poised in the New African Independence Movement. We have a responsibility to begin to work with our comrades to create institutions. We have a document, and that document is, of course, the government handbook. And the government handbook said we had two battle cries. In the North, it says, prepare for the exodus. And in the South, which we say that is our ultimate goal, to take the five states in the South, it is to prepare the land. What does that look like? We have what they call a blueprint to do that. And again, as I keep, and I will always continue to say it, I don't want to hear about another anything plan until you implement the one that's already been put in place. And then come back and say, we implemented that plan and it didn't work. But until we implement it or attempt to implement it, you have no basis to say anything except get into work, study, training, so that we can do the work. I yield.
I say go ahead, Brother Beaumont.
Okay. That question to me is a paradox. You know, due to the fact that it's true or non-true. When we look at that question, what would it take, right? We look around us. We look at the state of our poverty, our state of our miseducation, the state of us being material slaves, the state of being capitalist slaves. us being colonial slaves, you look at our state all around us, right? That's all there's enough to get us to do the work, right? But it's all depend on our determination and our will. That's what it depends on, right? We can do anything you want to right now in particular if we just come together and do it. There's nothing necessary stopping us. Of course, there's a lot of things that are obstacles in the road, but there's nothing stopping us from getting together. If you want to get together right now and tear our city up, we can do that. They can't stop us. We're going to get together right now and leave the country. We can do that. You know what I'm saying? We ain't necessarily got to get on fire. We can leave. We can do what we want to do if we so choose.
Right. So it's all about our will, our determination, effort, regardless of what we want to do, how serious we are. We can make change any given time we so choose to, right? You know, it's on us. We had the power. We had the numbers.
We had the intelligence. We had the will. We had the strength. And by them knowing all this, they use these obstacles to deceive us, to turn us against each other, to make a dimension neo-colonial, which is a quote-unquote house nigga. You know, they create these terminologies, don't they, through their own psychological aspect. And one they graded to right now is social media. Social media is just a system to get to a social engineering. Social engineering our mind, and particularly the thing acting the way you want it to think. If you like, for instance, you can have something in your email in particular that you're talking about. You can have something in your email that you're discussing or looking at. And all of a sudden, you're going to start getting articles of a promotion about what you were looking at in your email on social media, on your phone, other aspects. Because they understand the social ad, that might be because you have your location on. You have your locator on in regard to your phone. So they can utilize certain forms of advertising to locate with your locations to manipulate you. To manipulate your mind to think it. To put certain thoughts in your mind. Like, you might say your phone listening to you. But in all actuality, you have your locator on. So you ain't listening because you had your locator on. You know, you made it easy for them to send information to you, to manipulate you, and to actually to guide you in certain forms of way of thinking they want you to think and act. You know, but in all actuality, we had that power. You know, we had the power to make our own decisions. The determination within our origin. It's in our bloodline. It's in our genes. It's in our molecular structure. It's all around us. You know, it's within our ancestral craft. It's all around us. So we can do everything we wish to do any given time. Everything ought to happen to us. Everything that happens to us already for us to do what we need to do. There's nothing else that can happen to us that hasn't happened to us already. That we don't need. They don't mass incarcerate us. They don't slaughter an entire civilization. They don't bond us. They don't get with diseases. They don't drug us. They don't have police brutality. They don't drug us to death. You know, they don't turn into each other. There's nothing else that they can do to us that will inspire us to do better. It's all around us. It's just on the point that we got to make that choice. And I yield.
I say. I want to thank you both for coming in. Do you have something else you want to add, Mama?
Oh, no, I totally agree. I totally, as I say, Comrade Bomani, totally agree. They've done every single thing, and they're still doing more. They're still doing more. Remember, at the same time, remember what Francis Crest Wellesley has told us. They're in fear of genetic annihilation. Take examples that every single thing that is happening as far as propaganda now, as far as subliminal suggestion, as far as the mass incarceration of particularly our husbands and brothers and cousins, et cetera, is to decrease the strength of the black family. And so when you do that, and of course that's with the rise of their particular I call it their socio-cultural paradigm, which involves the LGBTQISTUV community. It's all designed to keep families, particularly the new African family, from propagating, because remember, that particular paradigm is already embedded in their cultural DNA. That comes from the Romans, the Greek, from the time they came up from the caves. Remember who their cave people. Remember their genetic recessive mutants. So their genetic annihilation is right in our faces. So So the manipulations to integrate, to water down the new African bloodline has been embedded a long time, long time. First, it was, of course, making sure that they mated with us so they could produce more slaves, mate with each other, mate, keep us breeding and inbreeding and whatever else they were doing to propagate slavery. But now it's to make sure that because their bloodline is 50-50 when you propagate, even though genetics say they're supposed to be African, Africoid, mentally, spiritually, most of them culturally, they're conflicted and they go with their black mother or their white mothers or their white fathers. There's mass confusion. That is dangerous, according to Chancellor Williams. But, you know, Francis Quest Welsing says it's all about social manipulation. And we have to be careful and we have to tell our people, tell our children. I don't know what the conversation is at the dinner table. I don't know what happens when we gather in families, as Bomani was talking about. We all used to gather for families, but it is critical. This is a critical time when we tell the truth. We tell our children about history, and those that don't know, you assign or you figure it out. Let's sit down and watch this together and analyze it, because it's not entertainment. It's edutainment. You got to have those courageous conversations that what we feel is cute and sweet because you done got some white husband, you done got some white wife. That ain't cute. That is an aggression against our bloodline. That is. And we have to be real about it, and we have to understand culturally it is not correct because they're not the same species when you really want to get down to it. So why are you mating with them? Because somebody is socially manipulating you on TV for the last 10, 15 years? Huh? And really, it's like the last five because we've seen it creeping and nobody's saying anything. Nobody's speaking out against it. Nobody's addressing the issue. And you got mamas who don't tell their children, don't bring that shit up in here, in my house. We don't do that.
I say.
And this is the reason why. And when they do, because we have a lot of people that they're not responsible. We have children who are the descendants of people who have made it, and they come into your families as they've come into our families because each of us have it. Each of us have to face it. Each of us has to deal with it. You got to still have those courageous conversations. When you walk up in here, you stand firm. Those conversations, they have to know. Do you know the number of conversations that that half-caste children have to say? They had to grow up with their mamas calling their fathers nigger. What is that? These brothers who are, who are pussies that can't stand up for the race because they done made a decision? Come on now. Come on.
I see.
Because you don't know who you are and you don't know where your allegiance lies to the race. What is happening? And we have to be real, real clear about it. Real clear. Because it is considered war. It is a war tactic. And we don't even know that.
I totally agree. This has been a dynamic, a fast one. This has been an awesome show. Even though it turned around and my original guests weren't able to be here, I appreciate both of you being here. We have Minister Bomani Williams, and we have Madam Vice President, Mama Ayo, to join us today, and they have given us some valuable
Minister Bomani Secure. They're Minister Bomani Secure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot. I'm mixing you up with Bomani Williams. I'm sorry, Minister Bomani Shakur, our Minister of Information. Okay, did I straighten it up?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank y'all for joining me today. I want y'all to get a closing for me together and get your contact information.
give updates on our elections, whoever wants to do that. We have our elections coming up for the Republic of New Africa in March of 2023. Give any updates that's going on in your district and how to contact you all in support. So I'm going to go with Mama Ayo. You go ahead first, and then Mr. Bowman, then we're going to go ahead and close it out. Like I said, thank you all so very much for stepping
no
in
doubt.
Today.
Thank you.
This is a great show. I have enjoyed every minute of it. Very informative. Very informative. Thank y'all, okay? Go ahead, Mama Ayo.
No doubt.
Well, thank you, Melly Queen. I came on just to be a listener, but that didn't manifest. I will encourage anyone who listens to this broadcast to clear your new African citizenship, because you're already a citizen. We want you to become a conscious citizen worker. Join yourself with 3, 4, 5 people. Get into a collective where you're studying, working, and you're training, because the study will guide your work and your training. Because we have to know the nation in which we are trying to build. We have to know the perspective. We have to know what we're building and how we're building it. I mean, we have to know the code of behavior, the code of things that we live by, the laws of Ma'at, the New African Creed, the Nguza Saba, all incorporated into our everyday life, 365 Black. And I will let our Minister of Information tell you how to get in touch with us. Knowing that as you become a new African conscious citizen, you do have responsibilities. We have to pay taxes. We need not only your money, but we need your skills to help us rebuild New Africa. And with that, I yield.
Okay, free land. Well, add on to what Mama Ayo was saying. You know, we are the provision of the Republic of Africa. I am the National Minister of Information. Mama Ayo, the First Vice President of the current administration. Whereas our new Afro election is going to take place next year in the month of October. New Afro election is geared toward electing officials for your new Afro nation, for your government in particular. Now, there are various social media platforms to contact us on. We have a Facebook page called, it's a like page called Republic of Africa. We have a Instagram page called Regional Republic of Africa. We have a Twitter page called Regional Republic of Africa. We also have a website. Our website is www.pg-rna.com. Upon going on the website, we're going to need you to create an account, sign in, so you can enjoy the contents on the website, which is the very documentation that you can download, you can read through, things of that nature. And also, as an aspect on where you can claim your citizenship, as well as you also can go to the aspect of being counterpart New African Nation through a New African Censor, through an African censorship form, you know, in regard to our New African Censors, you know, be counterpart New African Nation. And we also got a website in regard to our propagation by shirts, hats, and so forth and so on, which is www.newafricanujamaa.com. You know, Ujamaa is newafricanujamaa.com, newafricanujamaa.com. And for those who wonder what New African Ujamaa is, you also can go on the website and download it once you sign in, New African Ujamaa, which is our economic document that was created in 1970. You know, and you also can contact us on our website with an inquiry, or you can send a message to our Facebook page, our Instagram page, or our Twitter page for contact. I yield, and I say long live the resistance, long live the African movement, and free the land.
I say, like I said, free the land. Thank you all. Thank you both for joining me tonight. This has been an awesome show. I want
You're
to
welcome.
Say thank you. Thank you. I thank our listeners for always supporting and the love. You can always send love donations to $ Vanguards Academy. It's VanguardS.
Academy, ACADEMY, Dollar Sign Vanguard's Academy. Like I said, thank you all for joining us tonight. This has been an awesome show. I love you all. Always truth and power. Free the land. Black power.
Free the land. Free the land by any and all means necessary. I am, I will.
If I can change my color, if I can change my color, sometimes I think if I could change my color, but what I wanna be. They say the whiter the brighter, you black you a fighter. 401 years of oppression, but still manage to pull up in that 2020 test. That's good credit, right? Gotta keep your hustle tight. Take care of your kids, cause that karma hit. And I ain't got no daughters, but I wish I did. These little boys I got, I swear they gotta be militant. Yeah, cause these they killing me. And I'll be damned if a I take mine on some racist. That's why I teach them about black facing. And the KKK, that's something we can't escape. Escape. Son, they don't like you cause you black. Son, they gon' judge you from the start. Son, don't want no hate up in your heart, but you gotta move smart. They gon' judge you cause you dark.
Mama, they really had kids in the field. They don't care how it feels. Slavery paid the bills. Mama, this is no more design for us to fail. How you give a man freedom but don't give a man a bill? Well, mama, what happened to 40 acres of mules? The only time they respect us is when we keep them amused. Wait, blackface? Why are they making us out of food? Those stereotypes are old. We're looking for something to prove. We gotta think harder. We gotta be smarter. They said by the third grade if I can't read, I'ma be just like my father. And that's incarcerated. What happened to proclamation emancipation? I gotta learn all my history. Yeah. It's a mystery. My teacher keep on bringing up slaves. I can keep missing me.
Listen, a wise man once said, education is the passport to the future. But tomorrow belongs to who prepared for today.
Back in the days, I used to want to be the cop.
I remember.
The good guy, till Rihanna got stopped. I couldn't imagine my mama is all I got.
So they keep their knee on our neck, it's a sacrifice when we die. George Floyd, y'all killed him, it's no excuses. Over a fake 20, really, that shit was gruesome.
You mean to tell me that Abraham Lincoln didn't really free the slaves?
They don't like you cause you black.
I'm so tired of protesting. But we can't stop protesting until we get our reparation. And we can't stop buying all up in the store, Gucci and Dior, until we get our reparation. Cause as soon as our money starts spending, it's ending. They gon' forget everything that we was fighting. They gon' remember why they hated from the beginning. And we gotta go, we need our reparation.